Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Susie Larson Live. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know we love to have our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show once a month to talk about health in the healing process. And truth be told, we were just in the other studio doing a live show, and I promised we'd hop into the next studio because we have so many questions, we weren't able to get to them. So we thought we've got enough questions to record a whole nother show. So that's what we're doing here is we won't be taking live text today because we're going through the text line trying to cover as many as we can. Always a reminder that Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose you over the airwaves. It's really important for you to always be talking to your own doctor when you make changes to your health plan. But the purpose of this is to open your eyes a little bit to preventative health care, to things that you can do in your diet, in your exercise, even in your perspective, how you manage stress, if you get enough sleep. All of those things play a huge factor, a huge role in your healing process. And, you know, I always say we pursue healing and we pray for a miracle. You do everything that you can do and you ask God to do it only He can do. I want you to have faith to believe that God cares, that you show up in a way that makes you realize that, you know what, I've got vitality. I've got energy. I've got resilience. One of my favorite things that Dr. Troy says is don't let age be your cage. I can't believe how many people, especially when you get up into the 50s and 60s, even I've heard 30-year-olds say, I'm getting old. I'm like, I don't even talk to me about that because you really, truly, it's a mindset. And then if you believe what Scripture says, that He renews your youth like the eagles, you know, those who wait on the Lord. Young men will even fall from exhaustion. They have their limits. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not get weary, walk and not faint. As we wait on God and we seek Him and say, grant me, Lord, a new vitality and energy to show up in life, to go after the call, the God-given call in my life. Give me wisdom to steward my health. He will so love to answer those kinds of prayers. So we're here to help you take your next steps towards healing. Everybody's story is different. Everybody's needs are different. There's no straight line in the healing process. Sometimes it's two steps forward, three steps back. It's not for sissies. You really do need to play the long game and be patient with yourself. Patient and trust God and just keep on keeping on. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago. I think we're actually probably coming up on 30 years pretty soon. This is an older bio. With a vision to bring integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, as always. Love it.
So I know we just did a live show, so I don't know if you came armed with a second thought, but I'm going to ask you because you're a deep well and you and Christine walk deeply with God and He's moving all over the place. So what is God doing these days? What is He speaking to you about these days?
Well, for me, there's always a lot going on. I've got one foot in the healthcare world and God's kind of moving things there, and the other foot is really in just the church and faith. The faith world. And so it's kind of a bizarre thing, but I am in action when it comes to just the work that I do and working with people. But at the same time, when God is just speaking to me, it's the same thing. It's just be still, be still. And it's basically my time is coming. And so I can't tell you how many times. I mean, I'm really kind of like a squirrel on caffeine and maybe cocaine. Can I say that? I don't know if I should say that.
Well, you
but
did.
I just did. So I don't do anything like that. I really don't even do caffeine.
You're not even a squirrel.
No,
yeah, right.
I'm a sprawl, not a squirrel. Yeah, but I can't tell you how often God is saying to me, be still. Mm. Know my voice. Get into Scripture. Mm-hmm. Stop doing and start being. Mm-hmm. And so being in a relationship with Him. And so that's... There's a dichotomy there because I feel like I'm in such action and I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, except He keeps telling me to be still.
Okay, so I've known you 7 years, and I feel like I've been hearing you say this in the last, year and a half, especially a couple years. I even think during COVID I heard you talk about that because the need was so massive. I mean, the need, you guys did not slow down. You stepped up. I mean, half of your practice for a while was treating COVID patients. But I just, because we are in a life group together with other friends, you've really testified that God is saying, settle into my love, you know, be still and know that I'm God. So there was this juxtaposition I saw and is of you pressing into God in a deeper way in your personal life. All the while, there is massive action. You go to your clinic. I don't know how you do it. You're going from patient to patient to patient, and different people will tell me, this is what he said, and then he prayed for me, and you know, or whatever. And it's like you're shepherd, you're pastoring, and you're doctoring all day long. But what I feel like I've seen as your friend, as I've observed, you really have done that. And I feel like there's a new depth and revelation to the work that you're doing because there's a new depth and revelation to the way that you're learning to be.
Absolutely. I feel like the sculpture of David, if you will. Like I feel like the marble is breaking away and God is working on me but it's not from the stuff I'm doing. I'm not really a multitasker. I'm a guy. So I don't really multitask at work, and it really is just being obedient. But I can feel like I am being equipped for something that's next, and I don't know what it is. But it's faith and
ready.
Obedience. I'm staying ready. Yes.
That's right. That's
Spotless
right.
bride.
I think a lot of people are feeling called to stay ready. They don't know what's next. Okay, so let's walk through. I've got a whole list of texts here and others from a last on one of our other shows we couldn't get to. So we're filling up the show with answers to questions the best as we can. All right. What can your doctor guest? So maybe they're new. Our doctor guest is our good friend, Dr. Troy. Tell me about lichen sclerosis, L-I-C-H-E-N, lichen sclerosis. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yep.
Had it for years, never really gotten it completely under control.
So with that, we always look to try and change the pH of the body. And so with lichen sclerosis, there's a couple things in particular, just because of the region of the body, it can
First, can you tell me what it is?
Well, without being too graphic, it's in a female region. And one of the things, I'm going to say it this way, because it's the same thing for all sensitive tissue. So whether you're talking about the lining of the intestinal tract, the lining of the gums, the uterus or the cervix, it's one of those scenarios where you want to, it's a delicate tissue, so you want to actually treat it really well. pH changes when you're too acidic can really affect that. So we always look at what's causing acid. We talked in the last show about candida, fungus, things like that can produce acids. So we want to actually reduce the acid burden. And I'll say this, grapeseed extract, high doses of grapeseed extract has been shown to be very favorable and very helpful. And so we also have, depending on the exact location, we've used ozone therapy. We have what's called a Hockett machine, and you can do something called vaginal insufflation and other treatments that can help to reduce the actual acidity of the tissue. Drinking lots of water, reducing the sugar intake. So a lot of times you do have to reset something physiologically. We've even found some people, it was their thyroid that was throwing off their acid levels. But if you can get a sense of where you're at as far as the alkaline acid nature of your body, that'll give you a good clue. And if you can start to reset that, then we start to see it clear up.
Very good. All right. This dear one says that their feet fall asleep all the time and tingle and swell.
That's lymphatic. So something is causing the lymph. Now, there's a lot of causes for that. It can be anything from a heart condition to a kidney condition to, again, yeast or fungus or lack of exercise. It depends on the age of the individual. If there's pitting edema, that's where you put kind of push on it and you can still see your fingerprint or thumbprint in there afterwards. That's a little more serious and significant. Should be checked out pretty quickly. But swelling that stays, we want to see if there's a challenge with any of those systems, cardiovascular, kidney. And really the kidney is just it exchanges electrolytes and things like that, minerals. But it's really a ball of blood vessels that helps purifying and cleaning the blood and getting out the impurities through the kidneys. So it's one of those scenarios where you want to really just look at what's impacting the lymph system.
At the open of the previous show that we did together, I asked the question, in what way do you need healing? Where do you need healing in your story, in your life? So this this text is in response to that, and I'd still love you to speak to it. They say they need emotional healing with their recent realization of all the ways they've let the devil rob their life. They said, at 57, through much godly reflection, I'm just heartbroken. Through it all, I have vowed to have faith, active faith, praying for God's blessing and redemption. I know he loves me, and he's going to move in my life. So they're feeling just profound regret, realizing the enemy's gotten away with too much. I got to tell you, hearing that you're 57, that's still pretty young.
Yes.
And, you know, you look in Scripture at when some of these people had their most shining hour, it was way later in life. And God can resurrect in a moment what could take us a lifetime to take care of. So, Dr. Schreier, I think I'm going to pause here, but when I come back, I'm going to read this again and have you speak to them, if you wouldn't mind, and maybe we can pray for you as well. Dr. Troy Sproul is my guest today. He is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. That's located in Eagan, Minnesota, although I know we've got listeners from all over the world. He's our good friend. He's one of my doctors, but he's also, and Kev, my hubby, and just a dear friend of ours. But we love his approach to health because it's a preventative mindset that we realize, though, not everybody's in a preventative state. Some are full active, full-on disease, but there's still ways to support your system in really healthy ways without as many side effects. But also, any advice you hear today, run it by your physician. We're not giving advice or diagnosing. We, meaning, well, especially him because he's a doctor. So I pretend to give advice because I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. But truly, run all things by your doctor. Make your plan with your doctor. This is really to help you get a bigger perspective on health and the healing process. More with Dr. Troy in a minute. Hi, this is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, when you give a monthly gift to Faith Radio, you enable us to say yes to God-sized assignments, and it makes you a missionary with your money. Join this mission and be bold by making your monthly gift today. When you give $40 or more per month, we'll send you a Faith Radio t-shirt that says, "Be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." Your generosity breathes life into this ministry, and it helps us to bring the good news of Jesus across the globe. You can donate now by texting GIVE to 877-933-2484 or give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. My dear guest today is Dr. Troy Sproul. He is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. And we have him on every month in studio to just walk through health and the healing process. And at this point of the show, we take questions. Our text line is full of questions. So we can't take any live texts right now. We're just trying to do the backlog of so many questions that have come in. But I always want to remind you that you need to run every choice by your practicing physician. This conversation is always to give you a bigger perspective on what's possible in your health and maybe think a little bigger, think a little wider and deeper about preventative things you can do, how you manage your stress, that kind of a thing. So, Dr. Troy, this dear listener texted in, said that she says, I need emotional healing dealing with my recent realization of all the ways I have let the devil rob my life. At 57, through much godly reflection, I'm just heartbroken. Through it all, I've vowed to have faith, active faith, praying for God's blessing and redemption. I know he loves me, and he's going to move in my life. And I'd said before the break that if you look at Scripture, some of the greatest, you know, moments in faith history happened in the latter years of people's lives. 57 is still young. It's not too late, but I'd love to know what you think.
Well, absolutely. And plus, time is just not the same when it comes to...
That's so true.
A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And so this is a blink to God, and 57... is very young, and there's just a I know God is just a God of love and just filled with joy, but I still see a little smiling, smirking face just at the aha you just had with that, just the realization, the acknowledgement, and just the fact that you care that much, that you were potentially deceived or whatever. Mm-hmm. It that means a lot, and just now that we're talking about it, I just feel like God uses these moments to just bring other people along. So
exactly right.
God's timing is just so perfect. So I'm not one to, I don't want you to go into self-condemnation mm-hmm. over that at all, because you're definitely 100% forgiven, and God just loves you for who you are, and just really thankful that, I don't know, we're entering a season where if we can see how Satan has come in and perverted things and stole things from us, just having that awareness and then talking about it, that's going to help so many other people.
Yeah.
And so I love that was the awareness that she had.
Me too. And I just, you know, God knows how to speak to us in a way we understand. And for some reason, he took this time to speak to her about it, you know. And there's times where Jesus said to the disciples, I have so much more I would say, but you can't handle it right now.
Yes.
And I think that there are just times where, you know, he loves us, guides us, guards us, and he was guiding you even when you were unaware. But now I think he's bringing revelation because maybe he's got something significant that he wants his identity imprinted on you in such a deep way that you can rise up and see him move. So thank you for being so honest. And Troy said what I was literally just thinking at the moment, that you saying that and us having this conversation around it is going to speak for so many other people listening, going, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. There is a stirring in the spiritual realm right now. We're seeing it everywhere. There are hints of revival. You know, it does seem like massive warfare, and that's true because the enemy knows his time is short. But we are both seeing this as massive opportunity to be set free, to know Jesus on a deeper way, to see the signs and the power of the living God move among us. So we have every reason to be really expectant, I think. Right, Doc?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's see here. What is reactive arthritis? How is it best dealt with? Is it common? This is a female over 60. It seems to be a possibility with me, she says.
Well, it is becoming more common. And just like the name says, there's a lot of potential triggers that we find. Strangely enough, developing a dairy allergy later in life can be part of it. We've seen it with injuries, two different medications or the flu shot even, or vaccines. We've seen it with people who have been on meds for a long period of time, and either the liver or the kidney have taken a bit of a hit. One other one that I'm going to say is uric acid and that whole gout scenario can induce arthritic and reactive arthritis changes. So we also see some people will have a parasite that can, or a co-infection that can change form. So, meaning it can go into cystic form or go into more of its active form. So, it really depends on what's going on, but just exploring diet to see if there's anything that seems to trigger it. Stress can trigger it. We spoke about this before in the past many times, but lack of forgiveness and arthritis. Mm. There's a pretty significant connection there to all forms of arthritis. And so just look and see if there's anything within that realm emotionally and spiritually that as far as lack of forgiveness that may be in play.
Boy, very good. Thank you for that, friend. Thanks for writing in. Could you share some recommendations for a person that's vegan? What supplements do I need to make up for the things I do not eat? God bless you and thank you.
So my healthiest patients are vegans and my most unhealthy patients are vegans. Mm. So this is a very general statement, but it's primarily protein that most vegans are deficient in. And the more stress you have, the more protein you need. If you're vegan, you actually want to really, really limit your sugar because you cannot get away with it just simply because of the vegan diet. And so amino acids and proteins are by far the number one supplements. And
would that be lysine
iron.
Or what?
Lysine is an amino acid.
Okay.
There's many different types of amino acids, methionine, lysine, glycine. There's a whole slew of them. And so,
can you take those long term or just for a short term? You can.
Yep, you can.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are amino acid blends as far as shakes and stuff like that too. So that there's a lot that you can generally need or get from the supplements, and then make sure your iron levels are good depending on your age as well is very important. B vitamins a lot of times.
What about a plant protein shake? Would that be something?
Plant protein shakes, absolutely. Mm. And generally speaking, you can get enough protein from plants if it's the right type of plants. Mm. So again, it's very important to look at the vegetables a lot. If you just can't overdo sugars and fruit, eating vegan.
And again, we're careful about not giving label or brands very often, but I will say Garden of Life is a plant protein that I use, a protein, it's a vanilla protein base, and then I use almond milk, and it's just a small handful of organic frozen blueberries, and then I put MCT, medium chain triglyceride powder. And there, it's amazing what a low-carb, high-protein drink that is. I have it every day. It's amazing how much better I feel on that. So that might be something.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah. Okay. All righty. This one. Need practical advice on how to handle extreme health crises. I mean, what do you tell yourself during the crises?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. So extreme health crises, the first thing I would always say is eyes on God, because if you feel like you're drowning, you need to be looking up, because that is your life preserver. Because it if you lose your foundation of physical well-being, then that's what you have left. That's all you have to rely on. So that's very, very important. Now, if there's pain involved, if there is lack of sleep involved, it can become very, very torturous. So it's important to know that there's an answer for every problem. God does not create or allow problems without solutions. So you have to be really just hanging on to that, because when you lose hope, when you're in a crisis, it just fuels an anxiousness that is like pouring gas on the fire. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I always talk to my patients about is there's an answer here. And sometimes, I just mentioned this before, off air, but having a patient, I had one in just the other day who was in a crisis, and a very strong individual who just kind of just lost basically her foundation. And so she was shaking. And the first thing I did to kind of pull her out of that shock, like she was in a shock mode. She was talking like I'd never seen her talk before. Mm-hmm. And I just gave her a hug. And she said that helped bring her back, just wow. to know that she wasn't alone in it, that was a big part of it. And she saw that I cared about what was going on, but then I truly assessed what was happening with her, and things were improved, but it wasn't perceived that way. The fact that she then heard and saw with the assessment things were improved, all of a sudden just healing started there. So we can't lose hope. Eyes on God. There's an answer to every problem. And one of the things that we do, and a lot of the ER docs and some of our good friends that are surgeons, what they do is they take these emergency situations and they do one thing at a time. And they're calm in the midst of the chaos. The most successful people become comfortable with the uncomfortableness of life. And so as you're in these crises, eyes on God, and then you do one thing at a time. And the methodical nature of it is actually calming and can even help you get through it. So that would be, without knowing any details, I'd say that would be my primary concept as far as how to handle something like that.
Yeah, and on the other side of the break, I want to talk about, and have you go ahead and you can interject and correct me, Doc, but just what I did during some of the really, really scary times of unpredictable symptoms, because I was prone to fear. I mean, I'm not the person I was. I was so fearful. I'm not fearless, but I am not a fearful person anymore. God has so delivered me. But, you know, I needed to understand the physiological nature of neural pathways of your most repetitive thoughts. And once I started to learn about my own choices are making me more afraid, I can do something about this. So I did something about it. So on the other side of the break, I'll talk about that and have you speak to that as well, Dr. Troy, because we form these narratives in crisis. And you asked, what do you tell yourself? I think it's such an important question. What are you telling yourself in this crisis? And what can you tell yourself? What is true? We'll talk about that on the other side. Dr. Troy Spurl is my guest today. Angie Smith is producing. We're so honored to be here with you walking this journey. Every step towards healing matters. We'll be back in a minute. Pray it's been a really great day so far. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl joins me today and every month for Health and the Healing Process, where we talk about that, health and the healing process. Right now we're working our way through texts on the text line, and so we can't take live texts anymore, so we've got enough to fill the rest of the show. And this dear listener wrote in and said, need practical advice on how to handle extreme health crises. I mean, what do I tell myself during a crisis? And Dr. Troy spoke to that a little bit, but I wanted to speak to it too, because just from personal experience, I'm a former fitness professional. I'm super disciplined and focused, and I work super hard on my health because I want to show up. I want to feel well. I have stuff I want to do. And if I don't, things sort of go awry in my body. But I remember during this relapse that happened 8 years ago, and for 3-4 years, it was really bad. Inflammation was bad. Symptoms were bad. And Dr. Troy sitting next to me here and Dr. Jimmy, our mutual friend. So I have my MD and my functional med doc. Both are friends of ours and friends with each other, told me separate from each other, Susie, I'm going to help you with all this inflammation, but you got to do something about that fear, because that's opening the door to a cascade, an inflammatory response in your body. You got to do something about the fear. So I start to read up on that, and I found myself, you know, it's like, I know that from a faith perspective, but for some reason, Dr. Troy, it was, I'm embarrassed to say this, but it wasn't a motivator enough for me to not fear, because I'm like, well, you know, I know it says don't fear, but I'm afraid. But when I realized the physiological cost of my fear, that's when it started to speak to me, because I thought, I see you working all hard for me and telling me what to do, and Jimmy's telling me what to do, and I'm applying all those things. But I'm like, if I'm making things worse, if everything you're doing is sort of negated because of my fear, I've got to do my part here. Then I learned about the neural pathways in our brain and our bodies. I know from fitness, you know, I just think this is so fascinating that we are wired. Our bodies, God created our bodies to respond to our most consistent choices. So if you work out in a regimented, healthy way, your body will start to become more effective at burning fat, building muscle. If you're a couch potato, no shame, no condemnation, but your body will accommodate that and make it harder to do something different than that. In the same way, if your thoughts keep going to God, you know, is going to fail me, or he's going to let my worst fears come true, and what if this, what if that, and you start to catastrophize all the time. I mean, picture a cornfield and you start to blaze a trail with your fears. And then you don't challenge those fears. You just keep going and you take that path over and over again. Eventually, it's like the little guys in your brain pave a little path. You know, I'm going to make this easier for her. I'm going to put a little tar down. And suddenly you keep taking it. So then it becomes a 3-lane superhighway, because your body is creating this neural pathway in your brain. And I know that I'm hacking this, Troy, so you can totally add to it. But I'm trying to say is you become quicker and faster at defaulting to really bad thoughts, because, you know, what you do becomes the most consistent thing your body responds to. So all that to say, I could get to fear in 0 to 60, because my face would go numb, my arms would go numb, and the room would start to spin. I couldn't remember very basic words and how to spell them. Terrifying. And when I heard what you guys said to me, I thought, I've got some work to do. And the Lord gave me this picture of a road closed sign. And he says, you need to practice zero tolerance policy on fear. Put a road closed sign. I don't care if it, you know, he didn't say I don't care. But even if you feel fear, don't do it. Come up with something else. And that's where the phrase, God is good, his promises are true, and he will always make a way for me. And what I learned is, when you neglect a certain neural pathway or a thought pattern, when you go, I'm ditching that, I'm not doing it anymore, and you take a new one, in due time, your brain will delete that. It's like it shrivels because you're not using it. Use it or lose it. And so then, as practicing and applying myself to going, I feel fear, but I'm doing this instead. What was so amazing that has happened, and even to this day, because I practiced it so intensely, is when symptoms would come, my default response was, God is good. His promises are true. So that became that was what was attached to my symptoms after that. So you explain that more in a scientific way, because it does matter what you think about, what you say about your crises and your hardships.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, you did a good job, because it's all about communication, and it's not just communication once. So as your brain communicates with your cells in the body, if it sends a signal, every time it sends a signal, it's like a little electric signal, and it's like a magnifier. So it actually helps to strengthen and build up. So when you do it once, it's a little nice little spark. But if you do it over and over and over and you're consistent, it starts to build a thicker, bigger cell. So it's kind of like going to the gym. And if you lift one weight, you can have a muscle. But if you lift it over and over, it breaks the muscle down and builds it up stronger and thicker. So it's all about the restoration of our communication. So restoring good communication. And that's how we are made. It's all about restoring that proper communication neuromuscularly. And when we have these automatic negative thoughts and fear, it actually releases neurotransmitters that shut down our nerves. They inhibit our nerves. And so it literally shuts down communication. And so the funny thing is what you've done there, not the funny, the very awesome thing is it's another form of surrendering, which actually ends up giving us more control.
Wow. Amazing.
So as we surrender more to God, we feel more in control. So a lot of times we tend to be excessive with even our gifts. We could be like just having a servant heart and serving others. And then we overserve and sacrifice and become self-sacrificial to our detriment. And the reality is if we just surrendered some of that, we actually start operating from our strength and more in control because of God.
Wow.
Because God has taken the wheel, because God is now the one that's driving the bus, so to speak. So, the whole neurologic component, there's a different level when people understand, and that's knowledge. So what you were seeking was a different level of knowledge, and for whatever reason, for you, and I'm actually wired the same way, but for whatever reason, that's what was needed to have the next level, and then you could apply what you know how to do, which is, let's do this consistently now. Mm-hmm. Let's work at it and get it done.
Mm-hmm. And so as you're talking, I'm thinking somebody needs to put a road close sign.
Yes.
On some repetitive thought. And what is that? Maybe it's that you're inferior, that you're rejectable, that you're not acceptable, that you're not marriable. You know, I always say one of the ways you can tell that you may need healing is if you can finish this statement, I'm not worth what? I'm not worth healing. I'm not worth marrying. I'm not worth promoting. What do you if you can finish that statement, that's an area that needs healing. But I would challenge you to put a road close sign there and say, God, give me a redemptive narrative. And that's what we've been talking about these last two shows. I think it's really important. And one other thought that came to me before we move on here while you were talking, Doc, is somebody's listening today and your narrative is your life stinks. You maybe use a different word than that. I don't use the word that a lot of Christians use, but my life blanks. But in truth, your life doesn't. But you've made yourself miserable by making that declaration over your life. You've got a family that loves you. You've got food in your cupboard. You've got a God who loves you. You've got new mercies at your door every morning. Your life does not stink. But, you know, maybe one more thought on this. What you look for, you find. And I know in the brain there's the, is it RAS, the reactive, what is it?
ROS, reactive.
RAS. It's
activating system.
Yeah, the activated, the reticular activating system. Yeah. Where it's truly like you decide, I'm going to look for, you know, like let's say you're newly pregnant. And everywhere you look, everybody's pregnant all the time. And they're not, but your brain is geared to look for that. And if you're deciding, my life stinks, you're going to look, your brain's going to help you find evidence to back it up, even if it's not true. Just say a quick word about that before we move on.
Yeah, absolutely. It basically, there's a lie that we believe. And so if you believe the lie, you're falling for one of Satan's tricks. And so you will find evidence to support that lie everywhere because it's all around us. There's so many variabilities and possibilities, but the opposite is also true. If you don't believe the lie and you search for God all around you, you will see God all around you. And the difference is when it's a lie, that foundation, that infrastructure collapses.
Exactly.
When
right.
it's God, you get built mm-hmm. back up. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference how you know you weren't believing in a lie and following that lie, because when you look around and you know it aligns with scripture, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's where we come into the discernment conversation, because when you can see God around you all the time if you're looking for God.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the bug on the windshield that's blocking your vision, that you're going to crash and burn.
So yeah,
you're,
right.
And that'll validate
and you
why
you. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's so important. Truly, truly important. What you look for, you find. What you magnify, it's like what you behold, you become. They say so. Super important. Pray that encourages you today. I feel like someone needed to hear that. I feel like I know in my knower. I mean, rarely say this, but I really feel like there's somebody listening that you've self-sabotaged because you've declared of your life that your life stinks, and it doesn't. All the people that love you want you to look up and see that God has got goodness all around you. So I pray that you repent. I pray that you look up and start to thank God for all the ways he's been good. All right, here's another one. This dear one has many symptoms of candida. What can I ask my doctor to look for to rule it out or confirm? I've spent some time in Central America and the Middle East, so it may be possible to have that or some kind of parasite.
Well, the doctor may or may not order this, but you can actually get testing for candida antibodies. So that's one test that can be done. And then there is probably the best test is an organic acid test. And a lot of docs don't do this. So there are some labs that will run it. Great Plains Lab is one that runs it, as well as Vibrant Labs. So organic acid test gives you a lot of the different acid byproducts, but also just candida antibodies will tell you at least if you have had something in the past or currently have it.
I'm just asking, would another way to be able to tell if you have it is if you take probiotic and you react to it?
Maybe. That could be sometimes. A whole bunch of things. Yeah, but yes, okay. Sometimes.
Because it could be SIBO, too, if you're reacting to
probiotic. Exactly. Yeah, yep, exactly. Okay. But that's one. You're thinking like a functional medicine person. A functional medicine doc.
Yeah. I mean, I hear some people say, oh, I can't do probiotic. I'm thinking, you do want to know why,
yes.
Right? It's important to know why.
That's a clue. That's a gem. You just got a very big gem if you take something and you can't tolerate it.
Yeah.
Is it something in there that doesn't work for you, or is it something that's supposed to be healthy and it's not? Don't dismiss it like that doesn't work for me. Investigate it because that's going to be something.
A path towards healing.
Yes.
So should everybody take, except for unless you're working through SIBO and working through candida. I know, let me just say this thing I learned about candida is if you have candida and you want to start taking probiotics, sometimes you have to do a single strain, right? And start very, very small and easy. And you might have some die off. You might feel worse before you get better.
Yep, right? That's very true.
But so it's probably really good to do that under the care of a doc, a functional med doc.
Yeah, and well, just really paying attention to your body too. And remember, candida just feeds off sugar. So the first step is always a lot of people just improve just eliminating sugar out of their diet for a good 4 to 8 weeks, and then keeping it at a good spot, especially refined sugar.
How often do you have sweets?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not a sweets guy. So I had one today, actually. So
what'd you have? I want to know.
First time ever it's I don't know what they're called. They're like little dessert pastry. Mm. Like cook. I don't know. They're tough to bake. I brought them for the grandkids. So,
sweet.
So they're, awesome. I had them at the clinic and then, they were there. So I'm like, I've never tried one. So I tried one.
Yeah. Do you react to anything? I mean, you're so healthy that you probably don't react to anything like that. I would imagine.
Oh, no, I definitely react. I really try to avoid dairy. Mm-hmm. I think I was in my late 40s before I really ever had dessert.
Mm, wow.
So I wasn't one for dessert or anything like that either.
Yeah. Except but you're the salty guy.
I'm the salty guy.
Yeah, me too.
Chips are my were my
French fries
problems.
Dipped in honey mustard.
And I shouldn't say that. So people who know me in my 20s, I put myself through school working at a Cheater's Cheesecake restaurant in Winnipeg, Canada.
Okay.
And I was a starving student, so I ate cheesecake for lunch, breakfast, and dinner because that's what we had leftovers. So
that's hilarious.
That could be why I don't do a lot of sugar in my later, healthier adult.
Lactase overload? I don't know. Anyway, question before we go to break, though. In a healthy situation, with SIBO and candida aside, should people, as a rule, take a probiotic?
Yes. So I am more of in alignment with people making sure their sleep is good, making sure their stress is managed. Because even if you take a probiotic, if your stress and your sleep's not good, you're not. It's not the soil, not the fertile soil for the probiotics. So probiotics just kind of do a flyover like a plane with the crops. And if the ground is not fertile, meaning that the pH and your digestive system is not good, then the probiotics won't necessarily do anything.
Okay.
So.
All right. So on the other side, this isn't in the text line, but I feel like I need to ask it, is supplements that you like for sleep. Now, I know there's lots of reasons. We've done plenty of shows on sleep, and there's a gajillion reasons why a person doesn't sleep. But given that aside, if it's, if it's not a sleep disorder in that it's, an upper airway resistance or something like that, are there supplements you like and to help people sleep? We'll talk about that and then tackle more of these texts on the other side. Dr. Troy Sproul is my guest. More with him in a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I'm Suzy and talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy Sproul today. He's the CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing located in Eagan, Minnesota. And we're working our way through questions on the text line. Although I said before the break, I'm departing. This is not on the text line, but I know it's one that you'll want to hear about. And we've done plenty of shows and devoted whole shows to sleeping. That's an area of expertise for Dr. Troy. He's written a book on that years ago. I think maybe when you're in your free time, you can update and re-release because I think we need it. My plain and simple question is, and I know it's a complicated answer, but what are some of your favorite supplements for people who just have some general sleep issues?
Well, everyone pretty much knows about melatonin. That's a pretty standard one. There's also L-theanine, which can be very effective. And we also have magnesium threonate. It's a very specific type of magnesium that the brain uses. Now, 10% of the population will actually, that'll give them energy, so
okay,
they shouldn't
that's me. So I'll just tell you, yes. Magnesium glycinate works for me, threonate did yes. The opposite. So I'm always in that small percent. Anyway,
yep. So that's an important one. B6 is very important, which, again, comes primarily from the gut, but that helps convert serotonin to melatonin, so that's also really important. Ashwagandha can be used to help calm the area of the brain when hormones or other problems like basically things where the hypothalamic part of the brain has been affected. So there's quite a few. And then anything that reduces inflammation will help with sleep. Mm. So diet or curcumin. And again, everyone's different, so that's why it'll be something different for everyone.
Mm-hmm. What about
CBD can also be used.
Okay, valerian root.
Valerian root?
Valerian, sorry. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Valerian.
Valerian root, okay. Yes. I love valerian root as well. So that one, same type of thing. People who have even things like ginger and things that can help the brain, like ginkgo, increased blood flow of the brain, that can help some people be more alert or actually be more relaxed.
So valerian can do the same?
Yep. Valerian.
So it might wake you up?
Well, for some people. It makes things more efficient. So the thing is, 80% of our brain is inhibitory. 20% is excitatory. So different things will make different parts of the brain more efficient. And so if you have a body part that's inflamed, or not working properly, and you improve it, that's going to improve efficiency feedback to the brain, and then you have a consequence of that. So some people, to get them sleeping, they have to improve their blood sugar or insulin, and then all of a sudden they can sleep. So there's it's very unique to everyone, but the whole point is to reduce inflammation and improve communication in the brain.
Another one, it potentially could be glycine. I know, but that's like a liver detox and a stress reducer. And I've heard you say this before, that oftentimes when people are waking up at 3 a.m., it is a lot of times their liver detoxing. Is that right?
Yeah, so that's lung time. So, so when it can be lung, there can be a liver issue if they're waking up. The first 4 hours of sleep are melatonin dominant. The last 4 hours of the 8-hour sleep are serotonin dominant. So that can give you a little bit of a clue. We have a 45-minute sleep cycle and a 4-hour sleep cycle. So if you wake up at the end of one, that can give you an idea of the potential for sleep disorders. Hypoglycemic blood sugar reactions can happen within the first hour to 2 hours as well. So if you're waking up right away, that could be, you said, liver thing. It depends when they go to bed. And
is it kind of more detective work, kind of playing a little bit with make sure you're getting clean supplements, not just buying anything, but
clean
just sort of playing.
Yeah.
Do you have like a dose of melatonin that's most average? I know everybody's different, but.
We used to, funny enough, we used to have 3 milligrams was the standard dose forever. And then just in the last 5, maybe 10 years, we started seeing people needing 10 and 20 milligrams to get the same effect that 3 used to give. So it tells me it's a Band-Aid. There's other stuff going on that you have to still address. And then there are some consequences potentially for kids taking it at a young age and things like that. So you want to...
What do you think of that? Because I've been hearing about young parents who give gummy melatonin. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm not against it, but I'm not for it. How's that? That sounds like a politician. I'm not against it.
But I'm going to change the world.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
It can be useful, but I want to find out why. A child should be able to sleep through the night. A child shouldn't need melatonin. Mm-hmm. Now, it can be helpful or useful if you're traveling and there's like some level of anxiety or stress or something going on there, but there's something else that's more the root cause. And I'm always trying like wired into, okay, what's the root cause? Why would they need melatonin at that age?
Mm. Wow, very good. All righty. Does uric acid also cause pseudo gout issues in my knee?
Yes, it can. Mm. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, Carolyn, in our show before this one, the live show, which would be, it'll be a month ago by the time this airs, we talked about ivermectin. And Carolyn, and you, because some were saying, should I have that for flu COVID season? You said, absolutely. So Carolyn wants to know, where can I get it?
Well, you can actually go to our website, www.officialsynapse.com, and just click on the COVID consult button. So you don't have to have COVID. So Dr. Peter McCullough and many other doctors who are doing a really good job with this treatment have in Italy and a lot of places in the world have packs. And so just have it on the shelf ready to go. So it's a pre-COVID pack. So do a COVID consult. We do it for a lot of our patients. And
so
it's
in the pack that you'd have some in there?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the pack basically, or recommendations of what to have on your shelf. Mm. And ivermectin's part of it. So that you get a script for that for basically for 5-day.
Okay.
Supply,
which
is
nice to have, especially as soon as it.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we now know about COVID is early treatment is 100% necessary.
Yep.
And the general rule of thumb is, we had little to no problems with COVID if you did these things. So if you nebulize iodine, if you have a nebulizer and you nebulize iodine, it reduced the spread of COVID by 94% in the nasal passage.
Wow.
So we are bringing in our nebulizers right now for the fall season. And then early treatment with antivirals. High levels of vitamin D, zinc, quercetin, all helpful in the beginning. We use ivermectin in the first 5 days. And then the next 5 days, if it's significant or severe, that's the anti-inflammatories, even steroids for the severe scenarios. And then again, for the severe scenarios, anticoagulants from day 10 onward. Mm. And that's the recipe for success with it. The natural anticoagulant is fish oils. It's also an anti-inflammatory. So there's just a lot you can do. Everything we're seeing right now is not nearly as strong. People have built up, they have antibodies, they're more resistant. And it'll be like the flu, the seasonal flu type scenario. But still, on occasion, especially if you've not necessarily been observing or taking care of your immune system, or if you're really compromised, especially the elderly, you may need more of that scenario. So it's better to be prepared and being proactive than not at all.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
And since it's an inflammatory virus, again, pay attention to an anti-inflammatory diet.
Absolutely.
I just think that's wise.
Yep.
Our good friend, Dr. Jimmy, because he's seeing patients all day and worked all the way through COVID, he carried around these iodine swabs. So think of a Q-tip with iodine in it. You break off the tip and then the iodine soaks down into the bottom, you know, the other side of the Q-tip, and you put it up in your nose. So if he was with sick people, he would swab out his nose with iodine. And so Kevin and I ordered those because we travel on the road, we're speaking, we're face-to-face, we're praying with people.
Yep.
So after events, we get in the car and we'd swab up our nose with iodine, and that helped a lot.
You guys are so smart. I just carried my nebulizer with me everywhere.
I know we got to go pretty soon, but when you neb iodine, there's got to be a special kind of iodine.
We use just Lugol. No, there really isn't. You can do powder as long as you have the right water in there. So,
the neb solution, the saline?
The neb solution, yeah.
And then a couple drops?
A couple drops, yep. Yeah. We have 5 to 10 drops. So we have the actual formula if you end up getting it through us. But that's been published too. Dr. McCullough's published that that process. And Dr. Chris Masterjohn, who I just, he's a PhD who's, I think, brilliant. He published that protocol early on in COVID.
When I had COVID a couple years ago, and I used to have asthma, so I could not stop coughing. And Dr. Jill said, because I was doing albuterol nebs, and she said, I want you to switch to a glutathione. I think it was like a glutathione, and there was something else in the nebulizer. I stopped coughing in a day and a half.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we do is iodine and glutathione nebulizers.
Yeah.
It's on the same sheet, and we give it to our patients.
I mean, it was miraculous, how fast it worked.
We really did not have challenges with COVID.
You knew you had a path forward.
Yeah, we had.
So there is a path forward, contrary to current belief.
Right,
there
yes.
is a path forward. Thank you so much for tuning in. And, Doc, I know you gave us double time today, recording an extra show with us. We sure appreciate you.
I love being here.
Yeah, appreciate it so much. And, Angie, for staying late to produce a second show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Every step towards health and healing matters. Don't give up hope. Keep asking God, what's the next step? What's the next right step? And then take it. Do what you can, and then ask God to do it. Only He can. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Susie Larson Live podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast now at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live.